It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, as the Ebola outbreak recedes in West Africa, a local disease expert shares some lessons we can learn for future outbreaks.
First, more and more crude oil is making its way through Wisconsin by rail, and it's prompting discussions over safety and at least one legal challenge over proposed rail expansion.
And after a recent oil train derailment just outside of Wisconsin in Galena, Illinois, two Wisconsin politicians are calling on the Obama administration to finalize new rules on oil train car safety, something the U.S. Department of Transportation was scheduled to have done earlier this year.
Joining us now to talk more about the latest oil train news is Mike Ivey. He's a business reporter at the Capital Times in Madison. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Mike, first, how much oil train traffic are we seeing here in Wisconsin?
Well, I was really surprised. I think, like a lot of people, you hear about some of these derailments and crashes, but then when they had the derailment last week in Illinois, I took a look at a little further, and there are about 40 trains per month coming through the state now carrying oil, largely from North Dakota. And most of these trains have about 100 cars on them. So think of 40 trains coming through. That's a little more than one a day. And they can be up to 100 cars long. Each car carries about 63,000 gallons of oil, if I'm reading this right, some of the big new ones. So that's a lot of oil moving through here.
So we're talking about 40 trains coming through Wisconsin per week. Is there an indication?
No, not per month.
Per month,
yeah.
Rather. Sorry, thanks for the correction.
Yeah.
And that, is there any indication that that number is on the
way up? There, from all I can gather, there was almost no trains with oil moving through here prior to 2008. Nationally, the figures I've got is there about 415,000 a year now moving through the U.S., and that's up from about 9,000 just back in 08, you know, when a lot of the oil started coming from North Dakota via, you know, the hydraulic fracturing that they're doing there. So it's, I don't see any slowing of it, basically.
Now, derailments like the one near Galena seem to be at the top of people's concern list. Do you have a sense of how frequently derailments like that happen, both inside Wisconsin and outside?
There's not been one yet in Wisconsin, as far as I know. We've had some pipelines go, but not the oil cars crashing. But I did see that there were three in Canada last week. They've got a lot of traffic coming through there. That was in Ontario. Of course, there was the highly publicized derailment in Canada last year that killed dozens of people. I don't have the exact number, but that was all pretty bad. The problem is when you do have a crash, often the oil catches fire, and you know you have that fire combined with the environmental damage of this oil spilling out. And the other thing is that railroad lines often run through, they follow river beds. If you think of how all the train traffic that comes down that Mississippi River and follows those old riverways, then you end up with the environmental problems when you have a spill. The crash in Galena was right where the Galena River flows into the Mississippi. So,
And speaking of the environment, mm-hmm. The Department of Natural Resources is facing a legal challenge currently regarding a recent permitting decision that could pave the way for a new set of rail tracks through the La Crosse Marsh. What's happening there?
Well, you have to, you know, if you want to expand the tracks, you have to get the permits to do it. And the DNR, about a year ago, started rewriting what's called Chapter 150. This is basically the law that oversees environmental protections in the state. And they changed the wording in that to, I mean, basically make it easier to get a permit is the best way I can describe it. And the company Burlington Northern in this case had applied for a permit both to fill the wetland and to do a bridge across the La Crosse Marsh. So that all got approved, and I think after this derailment in Galena, a citizens group in La Crosse got together and said, "Hey, let's challenge the department on this reworking of the rules and whether they did enough environmental impact analysis to determine if the project was going to be safe." And they listed a lot of concerns, from bald eagle habitat just to noise on, you know, people living next to the train tracks.
Senator Tammy Baldwin and U.S. Representative Ron Kyne called on the Obama administration this week to take immediate action to address oil train safety. Did they lay out any specific proposals?
Well, there's been some talk. These rules were being bounced around back last summer, and one of the proposals was to just at a minimum require two crew members on a train. I think the old days of a guy in the caboose and a couple of engineers are gone. A lot of railroads have tried to cut costs by having just one crew member on their trains. Now, I did speak with someone from Burlington Northern today, and their trains all do have two crew members. But Senator Baldwin and Ron Kyne, again, I think they were playing off the Galena accident, want to see these rules move forward a little more quickly and get them in place. Because, like we'd said earlier, I don't think there's any slowing of the oil trains. And that's one of the arguments for doing pipelines. At least if there's a problem there, you don't have the train cars tipping over. You just have oil spilling on the ground. So
now, these federal rules that Senator Baldwin and Representative Ron Kyne are calling for, those were due back in January, right?
Yeah, and they, like a lot of things don't move quite as quickly in government as maybe we always wish they would. It seems kind of like a bipartisan thing, but the the rail industry is going to make its pitch for for not being pushed too quickly on this stuff. So I encourage anybody that's interested to go ahead and take a look at our story. I've got a link to their letter and some other stuff on there that I was pretty. But mainly, I was just really surprised to see that there was that many oil trains coming through the state.
And we've talked on this show before about the possibility of changing the structure of the cars, either retrofitting them and also building new ones. Have you seen that and what people are
doing? Yeah, well, actually, an interesting thing is the cars are not actually owned by the railroad. They're owned by the oil companies or whoever's shipping the oil. There have been some improvements in oil tanker technology. For a while, they were almost using milk cars that would transport milk that weren't really set up, but the cars that did crash in Galena actually were the newer variety that are supposedly less prone to rupture if they do tip over. So I don't know if it's hard to build a tank car that doesn't rupture if it tips over, but I think they're trying to work on it. But there's all kind of rules here in the feds are looking at in terms of speed and braking, and then the other thing is it's really hard to get a lot of information on how many trains are going through because it is considered private information that the railroads don't like to give out. So some of it is on file with safety officials, but I think the public is frustrated because they'd like to know what's in these cars.
And going forward, the DNR is going to be up against some budget cuts, some restructuring. Do you see any impact there with their ability to conduct thorough environmental reviews of proposed rail sites?
Well, I haven't heard the rail issue raised. I know the budget talks about getting rid of probably up to a dozen scientists who might be looking at probably more specific environmental impacts. I haven't heard much. In fact, I think the governor and the legislature has been sort of supportive of the rail industry as much as anything. They've had money in the budget for track improvements and have worked to have additional regulators in areas that seem related to either, moving sand specifically, or in this case, I don't know if there's any additional stuff in there with the oil. But for the most part, I think the Walker administration has been tried to be a friend of the fuel industry, which is got a lot more activity here than it certainly did 10 years ago.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
As always, guys, thanks.
That was Mike Ivey, business reporter for the Capital Times.